Go ahead and go to Jeremiah 9. And President Ballard, I just have to say thank you. I know there were so many alumni to choose from, so I'm just blessed to be here today. But go to Jeremiah 9. That's where we're going to start today. And I want to start off by asking you, what is the common way the world measures you? Jesus says in Mark 4, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And he asked that in a rhetorical way because the fact is, his disciples were being called to take up their cross and follow him. His disciples were being called to set everything aside and to follow Jesus Christ. And we get asked this question, what are we measured by? And I believe in Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah receives this same measurement, receives this same question. And then he gives it to us in this way. In Jeremiah 9, starting in verse 23, it says, "Thus says the Lord," don't you love saying that? "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the challenges we receive, for the encouragement we receive. God, I pray that as we look at it today, Lord, we would have a proper understanding of ourselves and of who you are. Lord, that we would worship you as the God that we know personally. And it's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. So to begin what I started with, how are you measured? The world looks at us in three ways: your wealth, your health, and then your wisdom. And so we see this happening all throughout our lives. So where did you go to school? Oh, I went to Cambridge. Oh, wow. Oh, how much money do you make a year? Oh, I make $100,000 a year. Whoa. Or, you know, oh man, how much can you bench? Oh, I can bench like 250. And this is the way the world looks at us. And so the world we live in wants to tell us to fall into one of these three categories, but Jeremiah says you can't do that. Jeremiah says there's no purpose to that. And so what I've entitled this message today and what I want you to get as the main point is exchanging self-confidence for God confidence. Friend, I believe self-confidence is the biggest lie Satan has ever sold. I believe that Satan has convinced people time after time that it depends on you every way, when God says it doesn't depend on you for anything. Friend, that is not discouraging. That is encouraging, if you're asking me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what I have, and it's not about what I own. It's about what God has and what God does. So I want to give this to you in three steps. Three steps for exchanging self-confidence for God confidence. The first step is this. Relieve yourself of the burden of self-confidence. Relieve yourself. It doesn't take long to do this. Jeremiah says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." Don't think you're smart enough. "Let not the mighty man glory in his might." Don't think you're strong enough. "And let not the rich man glory in his riches." See, Jeremiah was speaking to the nation of Israel, or the nation of Judah, actually, at this point. And if you read this book, it is just discouraging. People call Jeremiah the weeping prophet because of the book of Lamentations and the book of Jeremiah. But the fact is, Jeremiah was tasked with a job that just really stunk. He had to go and tell people that they were going to be judged and that they were all going to die and they were going to be carried off in captivity. But he also had to give them hope too. And that's what he does in this passage. But if you read Jeremiah from chapter 1 up to chapter 9 right here, it's very, very discouraging. Because all God is saying the entire time is, Jeremiah, Israel's terrible. At one point in the NLT, he says this, "Jeremiah, Israel could teach prostitutes how to do a better job." That's pretty rough. But the fact is, Israel had fallen so far from God and had become so confident in self that this had become a problem. And Jeremiah had to address it by the leading of the Lord. Jeremiah had to say, "Do not let yourself glory in anything. Do not take confidence in anything that is of yourself." So relieve yourself of the burden of self-confidence. Nothing we could ever do or own will give us the confidence that we so deeply desire. Confidence is a need. We need to have confidence in something. That's a human thing. I want to be able to stand somewhere and be bold. But it's not because of me. It's not something that I can muster up. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to say. And the other thing Jeremiah is not saying is that these gifts are a bad thing. Jeremiah doesn't say that strength and wisdom and riches are bad. I mean, if you can find that there, tell me about it, but I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Because the fact is, in James, we see that God is the giver of all things. All good things come from the Father above, the Father of lights, who has no partiality in his giving. And so don't think that riches and wisdom and strength are a bad thing. Strive for those things, but don't brag on them. Don't find confidence in yourself because of them. Friends, on a personal note, those of you that have known me for a long time, don't say amen, please, I'm begging you. Know that I've struggled with this. You know that I've found my self-confidence in what I've known. That wasn't good. That's not good. I've lost friends because of that. I've damaged relationships because of that. Don't let yourself ever think that anything you possess is good enough, that anything you can do is good enough. It's not. But that's not a bad thing. Because Jeremiah goes from saying, don't glory in this, glory in this. So relieve yourself of the burden of self-confidence and then rest in a relationship with God. Rest in a relationship with God. He says in verse 24, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. We have a privilege to know God. That is the beginning of creation's story. At the beginning of time, Adam had a perfect relationship with God. He had perfect communion that he walked in the garden day by day with God. And then he surrendered that for something that he thought was worthy, the knowledge of good and evil. And so Adam surrenders this, and all of a sudden the relationship is broken, but God says, that's not my plan. My plan is to know you and to have fellowship and communion with you day by day. And then all through the Bible, we see from beginning to end God's plan of bringing us back into relationship with him. The Bible is about knowing God. And so Jeremiah is telling us that we can rest and we can take confidence in a relationship with God. To be truly confident, one can simply bow in prayer before a God that knows and hears them. Knowing God is the greatest thing. It is the purpose of man's existence, Scripture, and Jesus' death on the cross. We get to know God. And here's why Jeremiah goes there after saying what he says first, after saying don't glory in these things, because the fact is all those things are passing away. My grandfather was a great man on my mother's side. I loved him. I got to talk to him just about every day. I lived next to him most of my life. And I'd go to my grandpa's house and I'd get down on the floor and I'd put my hands in my chin, I'd put my feet up, and I'd start to listen to him tell me about stories of when he was a trooper for New York State, or of how he owned an insurance agency. My grandpa was smart, folks. I mean, I'd sit there and I'd listen to him, and he had good advice all the time. And I'd listen to other stories, and I'd see my grandpa build. He built my family's house. And he, not my parents, but his house, excuse me. And he builds this house, and it's beautiful. And my grandpa was just good at that. He was strong enough to do that kind of thing. He was a big guy. You think I'm big. My grandpa was bigger. I mean, his fingers were double the size of mine. That was like his index finger right there. I mean, he was big. And he was strong. And he was smart. And he had money. But a year ago, my grandfather passed away. Or 2 years ago, my grandfather passed away. And I remember going into the hospital room and seeing my grandpa lying on the gurney, just propped up, doing everything he could to just breathe. And at that time, there was no money there. He didn't have a muscle on his bones. His mind was gone. And I watched my grandfather die like that. But I never lost hope, because I knew and he knew that he knew God. I recently was able to find a couple things from my grandfather's life, and I found a Gideon New Testament. And I looked in this Gideon New Testament, and as I scrolled through it, I saw that my grandfather knew and had a relationship with God. I saw the highlighting. I saw the notes that he made about how to share the gospel with a friend. And when my grandfather got saved at about 40 some odd years old, he went from being all about just insurance and being strong and having all the wisdom to taking that and giving it to the glory of God, taking that and helping plant a church and putting money down to build a church because he knew God and he saw it as worth it to get other people to know him. Jeremiah is telling you, don't worry about what you can do. Worry about how you know God. Do you know him? Don't, Israel, don't brag on what you have, what you've done. Brag on the God you serve. Because guess what? God is worth bragging on. And God is one that as we get to know him, he becomes more and more amazing to us. After we relieve ourselves of the burden of self-confidence, and after we begin to rest in a relationship with God, we have this third step. We get to recognize why we can have confidence in God. In the final verse, or the final portion of chapter, or verse 24, he says that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Man, there's so many places to start with this, but just look at the beginning. That I am Yahweh. The beginning of this phrase says, thus says the Lord. And then in the middle of this phrase, it says, I am the Lord. God is telling us, I am here. It is me that's speaking. You can know Yahweh, sovereign Lord, the provider, the redeemer. That's awesome. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to tell Israel. Don't think that this is something to be put on the side. This is the greatest thing ever. This is where you get your confidence, and this is how you exchange self-confidence for God confidence, because it's all about him. And it's all about the fact that he wants to know me, and I get to know him. If that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what does. But let me just, you know, sometimes we like to look at the New Testament and make references to the Old Testament, but go to Philippians chapter 3 with me for a minute. I'll let you get there. In Philippians chapter 3, it's, for me as I read it, it's almost parallel to what Jeremiah is saying. But Paul says this in verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." Paul's making the same case Jeremiah says, but at this time he's bringing himself and saying, listen, if anyone has a reason to do this, it's me. Don't get it twisted. He says, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless." Paul's got all the credentials. Anyone looking for a good man and a man that can boast is looking for Paul. Then he goes on to say this, verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul's biggest point was knowing Jesus Christ, was knowing God through Jesus Christ. Jeremiah's biggest point is knowing God. And not only knowing God just to say, oh, I know this sovereign Lord, but knowing God to the point of knowing his character traits, knowing God to the point of knowing that he exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Each of these points is really important. Hebrew folks, you know what loving kindness is. It's the word hesed. It's the God love. It's the character trait that only God can show perfectly. It's covenant loyalty. It's loving kindness. It's tender mercies. We get to know a God that loves us so much that he sacrificed himself for us. We get to know a God that loves us so much that it's never going to end. We can't be separated from it, as the book of Romans says. And Jeremiah is trying to tell Judah this. He's trying to say, stop walking away from him, because he is the God that is worth it all. He is the God that you so desperately desire to have confidence, but instead you go to Baal and you sacrifice your sons. Instead you go to Asherah and worship him for the worthlessness that he has. You're worshiping yourself. You're looking to yourself. Don't do it. Look to God. Not only loving kindness, but judgment. Folks, we think God's judgment is bad. God's judgment makes him God. He can't have the loving kindness without his judgment. Because what is the opposite of grace and mercy? It is judgment and wrath. What is the opposite of what we seek? We seek heaven, but God says either you have to be judged permanently in hell, or you can have a relationship with me through my son. The fact is, God is good because of his judgment, and then God's righteousness is the basis for his judgment. God has a perfect standard. The people of Judah knew this. They knew it well. We know it well. But they had the law. They had the prophets. They had the priests. They had Jeremiah telling them day by day what was the wrong thing to do, and they still rejected it, forgetting about God's loving kindness, forgetting about their relationship and their knowing of God. See, the illustration is, think about it this way. Those of you that are married, you get this a lot better than any of us do. As a husband and wife that serve the Lord grow closer, as they get older, they get to know each other better. Not differently, but better. Maybe things change. Maybe they see that, well, you know, I never noticed that character trait, but now as I get to know them, I love it. Oh, you know, I never realized how caring they were, but really, here's how they show it. And they get to know each other on a different level. Here's the fact. When you know God, you get to know him better over time. When you have fellowship with God, you get to know him better over time. Let me tell you how this works in my life. I used to know God as, you know, just a savior, just the one that redeemed me. Now I'm at NEBC. I graduated college. I'm working my way through seminary. There's a lot of ways I know God right now. But the biggest way I know God right now is he is faithful. He is good. And I get that because I've known him since I was 8 years old, and my relationship with him has been changing, and it's never gotten worse. It's always gotten better as I get to know him deeper. But as soon as I step back to that self-confidence, as soon as I start to think I can do it on my own, I start to lose sight of that. Friend, don't think self-confidence is the answer to your problems. We live in a world that tells us that you have to be this, this, and this to be successful. You have to be this, this, and this to be liked. God says, whatever with those things. But if you know me, it doesn't matter. If you know me, you can have confidence. It doesn't matter what the world says of you. Know God and know his character traits as you grow deeper with him. Remember the story of Caleb? Caleb went into the spy, was one of those 10 spies, or 12 spies, excuse me, and went into the city. And Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that returned saying, we can take the land. Caleb knew God. At a young age, Caleb knew God. But Caleb's testimony didn't change. Caleb knew God deeper as he grew. Later on in Caleb's life, we see that it's about time for God to give out the lands that he's promised. And Caleb is asked, which land do you want, Caleb? And he's like, well, give me that there mountain. And Caleb, as an old man, is not trusting in his strength. That's foolishness. He's not trusting in wisdom or riches. He's trusting God to be who he said he is. He's trusting God to be faithful. And he says, I'm going to take that mountain because God promised it to me. He knew God so well that he knew he couldn't fail. Man, I want to know God so well that I know what he wants me to do and I know I can't fail. Your relationship with God is the most important thing. And folks, you know me, I'm the evangelism guy. I'm the one that talks about that all the time. But nothing in your life will go well without first making sure your relationship with God is right. I know you're all saved, or I hope you're all saved. But even as believers, make sure you know God. Make sure you get to know His character better day by day. You can. He wants you to. His word is a great place to start. Praying to Him. I got to speak with God this morning. That's cool. Know God on a deeper level day by day. Press in. Seek His word. Seek godly counsel. Get to know who He is. Relieve yourself of the burden of self-confidence. Rest confidently in a relationship with God. And recognize why you can find confidence in who God is. God says, "For in these I delight, says the Lord." That's the final portion of that verse. "For in these I delight, says the Lord," talking about His character traits, talking about the men that are glorying in Him. Friend, know God. Jeremiah, the whole book goes on and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It's just like most of the Old Testament books. They just spiral downward. But you know who it doesn't get worse for is Jeremiah. Yeah, he eventually dies. Yeah, he gets taken into captivity. But Jeremiah was faithful to seek the God that he got to know from a young age, the God that set him apart in his mother's womb. Friend, as you get to know God, your life circumstances will not make a difference to you. As you press in deeper to the knowledge of who He is, you will daily walk through trials and not be fazed by them and not be challenged or have your self-confidence shaken, because you won't be relying on that anymore. Friend, know God, because in Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13, it says this, "Then you will call upon Me and go pray to Me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." Seek God with all your heart. If you want to get rid of this burden of self-confidence, that's the place to start. Exchange your self-confidence for God confidence. Confidence in the God that made you, that loves you, and that is trying day by day to get you to know Him better. Don't keep trying to rest on your own things. I'm going to Southwestern right now because I love school. But you know what? The problem I haven't had since I started there is this. I don't think I'm going to be smart enough when I get done. I don't think it's going to matter what I know when I get done. Yes, God will use that, but that's exactly why I'm doing it, because I want God to use it, because I know God is faithful with what He calls us to. Friend, know God. Take no confidence in the flesh, like Paul says, and trust Him more day by day. Father God, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for Your word, and Lord, how it speaks to our lives, how it changes us. Father God, I pray that we would take this passage and apply it to our hearts. Lord, that You would grow us closer to You day by day, that we would know You more day by day, and that we would rely less and less upon our own self-confidence and less upon our own abilities and capabilities. Father God, we love You. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.